ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، وقال: قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatizah Ikram, beloved brothers in Islam, over many weeks we discussed certain aspects of Surah Kahf. So today, before completing it, I felt it would be munasib that we make a summary of this entire surah in a very short time. So taking help from what Hazrat Mulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah wrote on the same subject. Hazrat Mulana wrote a kitab also, Marika'i Iman wa Madiyat, the fight between Islam and materialism. This is Surah Kahf's tafsir that he wrote. It's translated in English also, Fate versus Materialism. So a khulasa of this, he mentions that Surah Kahf, if a person looks at it, he will see that it can be divided into four stories, four incidents. And from every incident, Almighty Allah is giving us a lesson. And this lesson is supposed to help us in our fight against what we call materialism, the world at present, what we know as dunya. He says the first incident is the incident after which the surah is mentioned, also Surah Kahf. And everyone knows the waqiyat, that they were young boys and it was a fight. So Mulana, in his own words, which was translated also in very high English, a few of the translation, he says, the first incident speaks of the struggle between faith and materialism. In other words, of the consequences of placing one's faith in causes on the one hand and in the creator of causes on the other. They were young boys, they were told to worship what everybody else was worshipping. If they had followed the norm, then they would have been admired, they would have been given wealth, they would have had their friends. And on the other side was Iman, the desire of Iman. And they preferred Iman over the way of the time. And they preferred poverty over wealth. And they preferred to leave their family, leave their houses, leave their friends, leave their town, over being the very close people to the king. So this was that waqia of this youth. And in the story, Almighty Allah, the main lesson behind this whole story is that eventually in the ending, Iman will always overpower what is batil zulam. But it might be a very long time before that happens. During that time, however, the job of the mu'min is that he must remain steadfast. And it might seem very, very difficult at the outset. It might seem he's the minority. So a few ayat which Almighty Allah mentioned in this waqiyah of Surah Kahf is one, that they came towards Allah, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. Once they took the first few steps, we increased them in hidayat. We gave them strength. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Their hearts were weak. It would have seemed that soon they're going to give in to the pressures of the time. We made them strong. So Almighty Allah desires from the believers, and this is the lesson of the story, that during the time when madiyat, materialism, when zulm is on the height, is the overpowering force, and when faith, iman, Islam is lower, and a person feels that I cannot follow my deen now because of the problems that will come on me, then the first surah of Surah Kahf, the first waqiyah is that lesson. That at such a time, Almighty Allah wants you to remain with sabr. Eventually, in the ending, you are going to be ghalib. And in the end of this waqiyah, it shows how Almighty Allah made them sleep, how Almighty Allah looked after them, how the sun became subservient to them, how the insects became subservient to them, how everything in the cave was in their favor, and how when they woke up, they found the whole government had changed. So things happen. Mawlana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says, the lesson of the story is that whatever is happening in the world is happening with the intention only of Almighty Allah. It's not happening with the intention of this power or that country or this force or these people behind the scenes. Everything that's moving is with the irada of Allah. Sometimes Allah lets these people be up, sometimes Allah lets these people be up. Everything goes with Allah's irada. This is the imtihan, how will the believer fare in these times? So this is the first lesson of Surah Kahf, that there's going to be a continuous struggle between faith and materialism. And the struggle will continue toward Til Qiyamah. When you find yourself in the struggle, then see which group you are. Are you that group who follows the norm, or are you of that group who stays firm on your faith? This is the first lesson of Surah Kahf. Thereafter, Mawlana continues. He says, before Almighty Allah moves on to the second lesson, the second waqiyah of Surah Kahf, which is the waqiyah of a man who owns a garden. Before that second waqiyah begins, Almighty Allah gives three advices in Surah Kahf. And these three advices are during this period of time, that if a man finds himself in this period where zulm is, it appears to be the power, darkness, maddiyat, materialism, and a person feels very hard to practice on faith, then Quran says three things is necessary for you to do. The first thing is وَتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. That hold firmly onto the Quran. Recite the Quran in great abundance. Tilawat of Quran, meaning of the Quran, hold onto the Quran. The second thing is وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. That find the company of the pious and stay in their company with sabr. Stay in the company of the pious. And the third thing is وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Give da'wah, propagate what is right. Whether people listen to you or they don't listen to you. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. People want to believe, let them believe. They don't want to believe, that doesn't matter with you. You propagate what is true. Ulama-i-kiram mentioned that these three things are vital for a person to be looked after and protected in these times of fitna. One is Quran. Quran is the greatest zikr of Almighty Allah. Without Quran, the heart becomes dead. When the heart dies, we won't benefit from the pious also. We won't benefit from da'wah and tabligh also. The heart has to be alive. Quran will keep the heart alive. After the Quran is the first thing, the heart has to be alive. After that, if a person gives da'wah only, propagates what is true, but he hasn't got the company of the pious, then there's a fear that pride will come in him. Or there's a fear that shaitan will be able to deceive him. Shaitan will make him do certain things which he will feel is right. But in actual fact, it will be bid'ah. It will not be accepted in Almighty Allah's eyes. That is why he must keep the company of the pious. If a person has the company of the pious and he doesn't propagate what is true, then as ulama-i-kiram have mentioned, in these times you are either a da'i or a mad'u. You are either propagating, you are calling, or you will be called. If a person stops calling towards what is right, the things around him will call him to what is wrong. So you are either a da'i or a mad'u, one of the two. And there is no in-between. So three things are necessary. One is Quran, one is the company of the pious, one is propagating the truth. And Almighty Allah made it so easy for us. Almighty Allah reward the ulama that they started makatib around the world. In makatib, Quran was taught to every single person. You can learn how to read Quran so easily. There were khankas established throughout the world that a person wants to find the company of the pious very, very easy. Tabligh and dawah movement started. If you want to give dawah and you're scared also, just join this jamaat. How they are speaking, you just speak the same. So Almighty Allah made these three things extremely easy. It's just for us now to practice on these three things. Quran, company of the pious, and dawah toward what is right. So these three things will help a person protect himself during this time, where a person finds that madiyat is high and faith is low. Thereafter, Almighty Allah moves to the second incident of Surah Kahf. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. That there was a man who was the owner of two gardens. And two gardens is just a story. Mawlana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimullah mentions that in the first incident, if you look at it, it might be once or twice a century where man finds himself against the government, against the times, and he has to fight it. But the second incident is an incident that we find ourselves in every day. That there's a man who got two gardens, a man got a business, a man got an empire. Mawlana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says that the story doesn't say this man was a millionaire or a billionaire. He was a well-off person. His gardens was supplying him what he needed. He thought everything is now for me. Everything is going according to my desires. So this was all what Almighty Allah gave him. His business was prospering, wealth was coming, profit was coming. What was the problem now? What was the downfall? And this is the downfall of majority of the leaders of the world, majority of owners of businesses, majority of people who get a little bit show in the world, that they look at what's coming to them and then they attribute it towards themselves. And this was the downfall of this man. That pride over his possessions, that pride over his material possessions, his wealth. And he said, all this is because of me. And then immediately his friend told him that don't say words like this. Yeah. He said, what are you speaking about? Everything is for me. This is the lesson of Surah Kahf. That his friend told him, وَلَوْ لَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ. That that when you enter your garden, why don't you just say one word? قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That this is all because of the irada of Allah. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ. Whatever Allah intends, that happens. لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no power but with Allah. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah says, this is the essence of Surah Kahf. This one statement. He says, we take it for granted that it's on our tongues also. We just say, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. He said, if the value of inshallah had to be known by the ummah, and the value of masha'Allah la quwwata illa billah, then people would have spent thousands and thousands. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith, we explained that anything man sees which he likes, you got a new car, you got a son, you got a house, and the person reads on it, masha'Allah la quwwata illa billah, that this is only because of Allah, not because of me. Then Almighty Allah guarantees that He will look after that favor for you. He will not destroy that favor of yours. So this was the downfall of this man. This is the lesson of the second waqiyah. That attribute nothing to yourself. Don't look at your power, don't look at your industry, don't look at your wealth. Everything is only Allah's. But this man never do that. The whole thing changed. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. A hurricane came, or a storm came, or whatever came. The whole thing was destroyed. Now he's rubbing his hands in despair. And he says, if only I never attributed it to myself. Had I only attributed it to Allah in the beginning, this wouldn't have happened. So the first thing of Surah Kahf, the first was that there'll always be a struggle between faith and materialism. You remain doing what you're supposed to do, Almighty Allah will see to the rest. Thereafter, never take pride in your possessions. Never take pride in your wealth, in your industries. The third incident of Surah Kahf is the incident of Musa and Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. Majority of people also know this incident where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam one time said, Ana a'lam, that I know the most. I am the Nabi of Allah of the time. The knowledge, the greatest person of knowledge is me. And then Almighty Allah sent him on a journey with Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. And amazing things happened on the journey. In short, they came on a boat. The people of the boat looked after them. They took them to their destination. They never charged them. So where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam thought, let us do a favor to the people of the boat, Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam made a hole in the boat. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got shocked that they do good, you do bad. Then they came to a young boy. He looked so beautiful, so handsome. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam thought that he's a boy deserving of shafqat, of love, of taking your hand and passing over his head and saying, mashallah, what a nice boy, of praising the boy, praising his parents. Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam strangled the boy, killed the boy, left the boy there. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got shocked again. And then they come to a village where they ask for food, and the people say, get out, you don't want to give you all food. They come to the edge of the village, they find the wall is going to fall. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam here thinks that the people acted so bad, let the wall fall also. Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam puts the wall back up. So these are three incidents mentioned in the waqi of Musa and Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. At the ending, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says, what is happening? So Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam explains to him that the first incident, that ship, the people looked after us. We had to do good for them also. So what I did for them was, had that ship continued on the waters, there was an oppressive king who was going to take it away from them. Rather, I made a hole now in it. The ship went in the water. The king went past the ship. He saw that this is a ship which got faults and defects. He left the ship and he carried on his way. The ship was saved for these people. Then I found a young boy, but in the knowledge which Almighty Allah had given me, this boy was going to grow up and he was going to become kafir. And he was going to make his parents kafir also. So I felt, rather let his parents cry for 1-2 days, instead of letting them cry their entire life, and in the year after also they go crying. So I took the child away, Almighty Allah will always give another child again. But if iman has to go away, how even get iman again after that? And the third incident, he says, the people showed us bad akhlaq, bad character, they never fed us. The wall was going to fall, but under the wall there was a treasure. And the treasure was the treasure of young boys whose father was very pious. Almighty Allah wanted to look after it, so I was instructed to put it up. At the end of the three waqiyah, Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says, whoever reads the three stories, he will say in the ending that Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam was right and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was wrong. So what is the lesson of the story? He says, daily in our life, we come across situations where we ourselves realize that I thought this was right, but then situation after that showed me my experience was wrong. My opinion was wrong. My tajruba was wrong. What I felt was going to happen never happened. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam thought that this is right. Something else was right. He says the second lesson of Surah Kahf is never get pride over your knowledge. Understand, no matter how much knowledge you got, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, that above every person of knowledge, there is somebody else who got more knowledge. And right at the top is the knowledge of Almighty Allah. So never take pride in your knowledge. So this is the second waqt, the third incident of Surah Kahf, the lesson, pride on your knowledge. There was a lesson, never take pride of your possessions. Now the lesson came, never take pride on your knowledge. The fourth incident of Surah Kahf is the incident of Dhul Qarnain, a man of extreme power. One reason why he was called Qarnain also, that he traveled to the east and the west. And whoever he battled, he won in battle also. No one was able to subdue him. A man of such strength. And Quran mentions he traveled to the east. Quran mentions he traveled to the west. Then he came to the people of Dhul Qarnain. And the amazing thing which Quran mentions is, look at this man of such power. But when he spoke to people, he had justice in his life. قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمْ فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. If a person is a kafir, I will fight against him. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى. If the person does good, I will do good to the person also. He had justice, adl. When he came and the people complained to him of Yajuj, Majuj, then he told the people, I will build a wall. They told him, he will give you wealth. He never have greeted him. Power he had, but he had justice. He never have greed. He said, Ma makkanni fihi rabbi khayrun. What my Allah has given me, that's much, much, much better. I don't want your wealth. Give me a little bit of help, and then we will bring this wall up. And then finally, when the peak of his power was shown, exhibited to the world, when they built that wall, and how, what a wall. A wall which was going to remain for centuries and centuries. And of such strength that wall was, that the entire Yajuj, Majuj who was behind that mountain was going to remain there. And that whole wall was put up. At that time you might think that a person will get ghurur over his power now. And takabbur, that look at what I achieved. Look at my power. Quran mentions, look at this man. Despite his power, what was his words? Hadha rahmatum min Rabbi. That this entire wall also is not my power. This is only the mercy of my Allah. And how long will it remain? فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ. It will remain only as long as Ma'Allah wants it to remain. When Ma'Allah wants it to fall, the whole wall will fall also. There is no kamal of me in this wall at all. He says, this is this lesson of this incident. Have no takabbur and pride over your power also. So the lessons were, don't have takabbur and pride over your possessions. The incident of the man of the garden was shown. Then the lesson was, don't have takabbur and pride over your knowledge. The incident of Musa and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was shown. Then don't have takabbur and pride over your power also. And they showed Dhul Qarnain, what a man. Almighty Allah gave him such power, but he understood that no matter what my power is, I'll build a massive wall also. If Allah says down, the whole wall is going down. It is mentioned of Dhul Qarnain, rahimullah, that when he passed away also, before passing away, what was his wasiyat? So much wealth Almighty Allah had given him that historians say as if he owned the world. He and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, two people of Iman who had the whole world under them. But when he passes away, his wasiyat is what? That let my hands be out of my coffin. So that when my janazah is being taken, the whole world can see. That Dhul Qarnain ruled the whole world. And he had the wealth of the world. But when he goes to his qabr, he goes with nothing also. What actions I'm taking, that's the only thing I'm taking. So this was no takabbur in his power also. What is materialism on the other side, which Surah Kahf is fighting against? Materialism is we can do. We know. Our power. I have. I did. I thought. Pride on people's possessions and the industries and technology and science. We have done this. We have reached here. We have reached there. Pride on our knowledge. We experimented. We saw. We know. Quran has mentioned this, but science has said this here. The knowledge of the scientists, the knowledge of the experts. There's pride on knowledge also. Pride on power. We can do what we want. We can do to which country we want. We can do to who we want. Who is there to stop us? Quran mentions no pride on knowledge also. No pride on power also. There is no pride in technology also. There is no pride in possessions and industries. Everything only is what Almighty Allah gives. And without Almighty Allah, all these things have no basis. Neither can technology help you. Neither can industry help you. Neither can science help you. If you are sick, medicine can't help you. So much so, even if the friends of Allah want to help you, they can't help you. If you go to a wali also, he can't help you. If you go to a saint, he can't help you. If you have to go to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they also cannot help you. And if you have to go to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself also, he also cannot help you. No one can help you except and unless Almighty Allah gives permission. Everyone's attention only has to be on Allah. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Almighty Allah in Surah Kahf then. That tell the people that they have put their pride in their knowledge and they have put their pride in their power and they have put their pride in their possessions. And the whole surah showed you this will never help you. Even if they put their power, they put their trust in you, O Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, innama ana basharun mithlukum. I also, I'm just insan like you. I am also weak also, you can't trust on me also. Yuha ilayya. The only thing is that wahi has come to me. What is that wahi? Annama ilahukum ilahu wahid. That there is only one zat who you have to put your attention to. There is only one zat who's your ilah. Ilah, that refuge, that place of sanctuary, that place where a person puts his attention, his devotion, his trust, his tawakkul, he places his needs in front. Annama ilahukum ilahu wahid. That your ilah is only one Allah. And besides, if this Allah doesn't want to help you, then nothing in the world can help you. That this is the lesson of Surah Kahf. That there is no pride in your knowledge. There is no pride with your instruments and your technology and your power. Allah is the only one. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. Now that you have understood that there, that whoever now thinks that I have to meet my Allah one day, and he has that desire, I want to meet my Allah, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then let him now do good deeds. Let him love as a person of iman. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And let him not take any partner in the ibadat of Allah. Let him not take himself as a partner, that I am intelligent, my knowledge, my power, my industries. Let him not take the scientists, let him not take the doctors, let him not take the helpers, let him not take anyone. My trust is and only is with Allah. أَنَّمَا إِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ. My ilah is only one Allah. And if a person has the seer, then that whole effort of Dajjal, that people must turn their attention away from Allah and must turn attention towards things of this world, that whole thing is gone down the drain. So this is Surah Kahf. Almighty Allah bless us with the surah. And what a wonderful surah also. In the surah, the whole fitna of Dajjal is destroyed. Majority of us will not even remember what was discussed during this whole time. But the miracle of Quran is, which ulama have explained, that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted us to recite Surah Kahf at least once a week on Jummah. Whether it's 10 ayats of Surah Kahf or the entire Surah Kahf, the more the better. And with the barakat of the surah, even if a person does not know the meaning, does not remember the meaning, Almighty Allah will make his mind right. There will not be kaji in his mind, he will not be crooked in his mind. Almighty Allah will make his heart right. Almighty Allah will create around him a barrier of nur which will protect him from the fitnas of Dajjal, from one week to the next. Everyone wants to know, how must I be saved? So the surah is there to save us. Let us make qadr of the surah. Let us recite the surah. Make sure our family recites the surah, our children recite the surah. Almighty Allah grant us tawfiq to take complete benefit from the surah. I end a little early today because, as majority of us know also, tonight is the night of what is known normally as Shab-e Barat, the night of salvation. So I felt just to speak a little bit about this night. Majority of us know it's a very, very great night. Certain tabi'in, rahimullah, have mentioned that after Laylatul Qadr, the greatest night in the year is this night. After Laylatul Qadr. And the benefit of this night is that Laylatul Qadr is not known exactly when is it. You'll have to search for it. But this night you don't have to search for. This night, one month before, is already told you, the day will be so and so. You can work out the day after, the day before. What is the day? The only thing is, in Laylatul Qadr, there's no big shaitan. So people search for Laylatul Qadr on the odd nights. And on this night, shaitan is also out. After Maghrib, you want to make ibadah, shaitan say, push it for Isha. After Isha, you want to make ibadah, shaitan say, wake up tahajjud time. And man will never wake up at all. What is this night? What we know as Shab-e Barat. Everyone knows that tahajjud is a great ibadah. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that in the night, there's a certain time. That if man finds that time, then whatever dua he makes at that time is readily accepted by Almighty Allah. But to find that time is not easy. There were those awliya in the world who used to stay awake the whole night looking for that certain time in the night. What is Shab-e Barat? That time starts as soon as Maghrib Azan is given. And that time continues right till Subh Sadiq of the next day. You don't have to find the time now. The time is open for you. The doors of Almighty Allah's mercy opens on this night from the beginning till the ending. And during that time, your du'as will be accepted. Right from the beginning till the ending, the call is being made. Who wants maghfirat? I'll give him maghfirat. Who wants rozi? I'll give him rozi. Who wants this? I'll give him this. Who wants that? I'll give him that. So it's nothing hard. Students have got imtihan also. But to take out 5-10 minutes extra and put our hands up in dua is not going to be difficult on anyone. Only let not shaitan tell us push it for Isha. And when Isha comes, shaitan tells us push it for tahajjud. Let us make ibadat. After Maghrib, take out time. After Isha, take out time. Try and wake up. What ibadat must be done on the night? We know ibadat is Quran. We know ibadat is namaz, salatu tasbih, nafal ibadat. Spend our time in all of this. But the greatest ibadat of this night is the ibadat of dua. Because on this night, Nabi Apak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it is being written who's going to pass away during this year. It is being written what rozi every person must get. And what does rozi mean? Sustenance. What is sustenance? For a student of deen, his sustenance is how much knowledge must come to him for the rest of the year. From this 15th of Shaaban till next year 15th of Shaaban, how much knowledge so and so is going to get? How much acceptance of Allah's deen so and so is going to get? How much health every person must get? How much wealth every person must get? How much halal rozi every person must get? And for everyone, an amount is being written. There are some people who are very fortunate that in their taqdeer a great amount is being written. And there are some people who are not fortunate at all that in their taqdeer bad things are being written. A bad taqdeer is being written for them. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua can change your taqdeer. So on this night when your taqdeer is being written, let your dua be that, oh Allah, if a bad taqdeer is being written for me, then change it to a good taqdeer. Oh Allah, if a bad taqdeer is being written to me, change it to a good taqdeer. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min darki shaqa, that shaqawat and badbakhti, unfortunate, must come on top of me. I mustn't be unfortunate. Wasu'il qada, oh Allah, I seek your protection from a bad taqdeer. This is a dua. I seek your protection from a bad taqdeer. Wasu'il qada, make this dua. Oh Allah, if my taqdeer has been written bad tonight, change it to a good taqdeer. Oh Allah, if so much knowledge has been written for me, increase it to so much knowledge. Oh Allah, if so much halal sustenance has been given to me and haram has also been given, then change that haram into halal. Allahumma kfini bi halalik an haramik. That, oh Allah, in the coming year, let my sustenance only be halal. So this is a night for dua. Spend this night properly in dua. On this night, Almighty Allah makes decision that so and so is going to be given salvation from Jahannam. Make this dua. Oh Allah, you are giving so many people salvation from Jahannam. Let me be one of those people also. Let this be our dua also. If someone doesn't know what duas to make, there are many kitabs of dua. Munajat al-Maqbool, Munana Ashraf al-Itanwi rahimullah, has compiled the whole kitab. Read it from the beginning to the ending. Duas for everything a person needs has been mentioned in these kitabs. Or make dua in English also. But this is the night of dua. Spend this night in dua. Nabi Apak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, during this night it is being written that so and so is going to pass away. So and so is getting ready for Hajj. In this night it is written who will make Hajj the following year. Sahu can't decide on it. Or the Saudi government can't decide on it. On this night in the taqdeer is being written, in the following year so and so will make Hajj. And so will make Hajj. Make that dua, oh Allah, let it be my taqdeer that I can also go for Hajj. So this is a night for dua. Let us take out the time. Nabi Apak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the month of Shaaban, the actions of insan are presented to Allah. And it's written who's going to pass away. Then Nabi Apak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I would like it that if my name is being written that I have to pass away in the following year, then it must be written in a condition that I am keeping roza on this day also. From this ulama deduce also that it is known that on the 15th of Shaaban this is being written. So because of this year, on the next day after the 15th of Shaaban, they say it is preferable to keep roza on this day also. So that if our names are being written, then Almighty Allah will look at us favorably that a person has roza on this day also. So these are the actions of the night of Shaaban. The main thing I told is dua. Let us make dua after Maghrib also. Let us make dua after Isha also. Let us try and wake up for Tahajjud and make dua. Almighty Allah's nida will take place throughout the night. Who wants maghfirat, I'll give maghfirat. Who wants rozi, I'll give rozi. Who wants this, I'll give this. Who wants that, I'll give that. Let us not be so unfortunate that we don't even ask anything this night and we become deprived of the entire night. May Almighty Allah grant us tawfiq to do what makes Him happy and protect us from those actions which make Him angry.